You're listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and I'm your host. As I say every week, greetings to all the tribes of Israel who are the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, and Nordic peoples, our brothers and sisters around the world. Well, we're back again. And once again, Yahweh has intervened. Just before I was about to read and start reading from Manly P. Hall's book, Yahweh intervened, and we struck gold. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, there's gold in them thar words. The title of this message is The Origins of Democracy, Part 2. Now listen, don't get the idea that when you have a multiple series that you really only need to listen to the first part and then it's just something you may not wish to go all the way to the end. Believe me, this series will be worth it. Last week, Yahweh had intervened again even on this particular thing, whereas somehow the message did not get recorded. So I had to do the message again. And it turns out that I did part one about the list that the government had made of the threats to America, the Democratic government. Yes, you can see that democracy is filth. But the true democracy that was invented not by the Jews. You see, the Jews don't really invent anything. They just steal things, you see. And democracy, the ideas of it, or the idealism of it, was somewhat, it looked like it had good prospects. However, just like all things the Jews touch, like television. Television could have been an invention that could have educated mankind and could have been used to propel mankind so far forward, it's not even funny. However, the Jew got a hold of it. They stole Edison's invention. And basically, when I say his invention, I meant for Hollywood, you know, the filming aspect. They took it and they used it for dirty films, and they've used it ever since for propaganda, but not propaganda, very improper ganda. But this is the way they do everything. So they took this idea of democracy that was an idea that originated a long time ago, as we will find out probably in the next part. But they used it for poisonous purposes, as they use everything for poisonous purposes. This people knows no bounds when it comes to evil. But they didn't think these things up, you understand? They didn't create any of these things because they're not the seed of Jacob. They steal books that people write. They steal ideas. They steal inventions from the seed of Jacob. They don't invent these things. So it's the same with democracy. However, At the end of it all, we still don't need democracy or any government. What we need is Yahweh's laws, period. So I struck gold this morning because I was looking for the quote by the fourth president of the United States, James Madison, who said, "Democracy is the vilest form of government." You heard it right. Now listen again. Democracy is the vilest form of government. The founding fathers did not bring us democracy. I'm not exactly sure exactly when, but I'm on the mission to find out when we switched from the republic to democracy. It could have been right after the Civil War. But I do know that FDR was talking about our beloved democracy. You know, Roosevelt, the Jew, Roosevelt, and his wife that had the dream. She dreamt of the days when America's sidewalks would be filled with nothing but brown people. Those are good dreams, aren't they? Those sound like normal dreams, too. That may sound good to the brown people, but as I said on my show, that is not diversity. Okay, James Madison, fourth president of the United States. James Madison Jr. was an American statesman, political theorist, and the fourth president of the United States. Born March 16, 1751, Port Conway, Virginia. Died June 28, 1836, Orange, Virginia. Okay, let's hear some of this brilliant man's quotes. "Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives." Now, our people today are ignorant and don't have much knowledge. And what did Yahweh say? "My people perish for the lack of knowledge." Let me read the quote again. "Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives." Let's go to a next quote. No, this is going to ring bells, ladies and gentlemen. If I could ring some bells, ding, 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 ding. This is going to ring bells in your ears. This might even cause a few tears. All right. "No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare." Hello. Hello. Why does the Jew want to have continual warfare? Because no nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. I told you there's gold in them thar words. Praise be to Yahweh who brings this to you today. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. Hello. Wake up, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, yes, it's time to put on the tea and to make the toast. Next quote. "The essence of government is power, and power, lodged as it must be in human hands, will ever be liable to abuse." I'll second that. Now listen to this very carefully. See, this is what they were telling you in all the sci-fi movies of the 50s. I have been doing some reverse engineering, as I always do reverse engineering, ladies and gentlemen, and I watch the older things to find out how we got to where we are today. You see, reverse engineering is if you found a spaceship from another planet, let's say, you wouldn't know how it was designed. So you'd have to reverse engineer it and find out how it got to be where it is that in that day. So as I go back and reverse engineer through America and through history, I'm able to find out how these things have come to be. So in the 50s sci-fi, they were promoting the UN, because the UN had been born in 1942. They called it the Day of Victory for them, not for us. Even though you'll say to me, oh no, it wasn't 42. Yes, it was. I don't mean that it came totally into fruition in 42, but that's when it was born, truly born. They knew about it before. So listen, what it always comes down to is, remember, here's some reverse engineering for you now. Did you notice that in the 20s and the 30s and the 40s on television, all of a sudden there were gangsters? They made sure that they passed the Prohibition Act so that it would cause an underground alcohol movement, you know, an underground where they could sell everything, where criminal activity would thrive. Well, they made movie after movie after movie after movie after movie on all these criminals. And that's about exactly when they brought lots of Italians in from the south of Italy, which are not the blonde-haired, blue-eyed Italians, but are the race-mixed Italians, the ones that they used to call greaseball or whatever. I'm not trying to say anything bad, but the real Italian people have blonde hair and blue eyes. See, the ones that they brought to America was not the true Italians. They brought people that were Jew mixed. Did you notice how they would do their dastardly crimes for the mafia, but they were very religious Catholics and went to church on Sunday, every Sunday? Yes, yes, that makes no sense. Do you understand? However, when you reverse engineer it and you look at it, what it caused was we need more police. We need more intelligence. They changed the name to the names of the, from the War Department to, it's amazing. If you just see what happens with television alone, it'll tell you the stories. So in the 50s, what happened was then they brought in the alien agenda, where now, and the UN was promoted constantly, right on from like 49 all on right through the 60s. If you've ever seen the Batman movie, I believe it was 1966. It was the one to bring out the series of Batman. That was about the UN, and it promoted the UN. But what it comes down to is, we need to have representatives. I had seen an English one the other day where it was called The Man from Venus. And when the English people, he was in England and he was helping and talking to the English leaders, and he said, oh, I don't want to just talk to the representatives of just one country. I want to speak to the representatives of all countries. See, we need a UN. We need to have a place to meet so that when, and we need to have a representative from every country, because when we as a world face a danger that comes to all of us, like an alien danger would be, then we unite, you see. But listen to what Mr. Madison says here. The means of defense against foreign danger have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. Yes. The means of defense against foreign danger have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. You see, in the movies in those days also, they were demonizing other countries and saying that foreign people were coming, like Germans, and foreign people were coming into our land. You know, those evil Germans. And they were coming into our lands and they were threatening our freedom. They were always threatening our freedom. So therefore, we need more police. And we need more Big Brother all the time. You see, there really weren't that many, or if any, of these things happening. They created this in the minds of the people through the television, through movies. They do this all the time. They create false realities. And they seem real to the people. And with these realities that they create new policies and new entities and reasons for more tax money to be spent. And so on and so on and so on and so on. And they do this perpetually. So the means of defense against foreign danger have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. You think on that for a little while. Next quote. The advancement and diffusion of knowledge is the only guardian of true liberty. I just leave a pause and you can think of it. The next one. The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe in blood for centuries. The purpose of separation of church and state is to keep forever from these shores the ceaseless strife that has soaked the soil of Europe in blood for centuries. Now, listen to this. Mr. Crispied probably didn't know this, but he sent a message to me that goes right with this particular quote. Listen to this. New plans threaten Christian preachers. Christian ministers could be required to enroll in a national register of faith leaders and undergo government training and security checks, according to leaked Home Office plans. The proposals are part of the government's action against extremism and involve registration by religious leaders. Islamic radicalization must be tackled, but the government is overreaching itself with these plans, which are likely to penalize gospel ministers, said Andrea Williams. Now, this is being done because of Islamic radicalization. But if they didn't bring these people into the country, they wouldn't have a reason to make this law. So they must have done it so they could make this law, because this is problem, reaction, solution. I can see this stuff so clearly, ladies and gentlemen. Not that I'm brilliant, just that Yahweh enables you to see. Can't you see problem, reaction, solution? The solution is we want to take over all religions, and we want you to register with us. Huh? And so now we bring in, to create the problem, we bring in crazy Islamic radicals. Therefore, we now need that solution. This is the Hegelian dialectic, just the other one. Problem, reaction, solution. This goes on and on and on and on. I'm going to move along to the next quote from James Madison. I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments of those in power than by violent and sudden usurpations. Do you get it? Do you understand what he's saying? You see, I told you the devil uses gradualism, right? And his children do the same thing. Listen again very closely. I believe there are more instances of the abridgment of the freedom of the people by gradual and silent encroachments of those in power. In other words, those in power are gradually, silently encroaching on our freedoms. And he says this is happening more than violent and sudden usurpations by somebody like Muslims or whatever it might be. Think on that for a while. This, you should chew on these words. These words are for the adult. These words aren't for the baby Christian or the baby or anything. These are words for adults. If he knew that back then, what do you think it means? These are warnings, ladies and gentlemen, from the founding fathers. These are warnings. Next quote. Philosophy is common sense with big words. Just a nice little quote. I'm not going to go into anything there. Okay, let's see what he says next. Now, I haven't gone even through these quotes, but as I go through them, you can see what he's saying. And it's just amazing. I had looked at a few, and that's what made me decide to reconstruct my message. Wherever the real power in a government lies, there is the danger of oppression. In our governments, the real power lies in the majority of the community. And the invasion of private rights is chiefly to be apprehended, not from the acts of government contrary to the sense of its constituents, but from the acts in which the government is the mere instrument of the major number of constituents. Now, that one's a little harder for me to understand right there. Okay, let's go on to the next one. It may not be easy in every possible case to trace the line of separation between the rights of religion and the civil authority with such distinctness as to avoid collisions and doubts on unessential points. The tendency to usurpation on one side or the other, or to a corrupting coalition or alliance between them, will be best guarded against by an entire abstinence of the government from interference in any way whatsoever. beyond the necessity of preserving public order and protecting each sect against trespasses on its legal rights by others. See, that's our problem with the government today, is it overstepping its boundaries. They had rules to follow in the Constitution. The federal government is encroaching on the state's rights. The federal government is encroaching on the city's rights. The federal government is encroaching on the citizens' rights. The federal government is a liability and not an asset. The federal government must be stopped by the states and put back in their place. In other words, if they're buying you, you see, that's the problem. Here's democracy, right? The Jews control all three parties because they run the Federal Reserve and they have the money, all the money they can print to buy off all the constituents of the government. All the people of the government can be bought off. Well, it's the same way. They're using the same technique. Is the federal government, here's how it goes. The city in a state is required by the state to give free housing to these illegal aliens. If they do not do this, they will not receive funds from the state. The state, that's the payoff, ladies and gentlemen. Just in case you don't know, that's the payoff. The state will not receive monies from the federal government unless they enforce that in every city in their state. And other things as well, I'm sure. So the problem is, again, money. The problem is, again, who doles out the cash? Democracy is the vilest form of government because it creates sellouts. Because you will not receive the money that you should be receiving anyway. We don't need that federal government. The state governments are fine by themselves. They can have their own armies, their own militia. The federal government does us absolutely no good. I can't even think of one thing they do for us that is good. Can you, ladies and gentlemen? I mean, if you think Social Security is good, how come people can't live in retirement with the money they make from Social Security? I leave that pause there for you to think on that. Very true, isn't it? Why are the old people having problems heating their houses and they can't live on their Social Security? Why is that? If Social Security is such a wonderful program. See, it just over and over, the government can't do anything right. They look at Katrina. That was a failure, right? Time and time again, every time the federal government is called upon, it is a failure. The federal government checks out our food. There's fecal matter in our hamburger countrywide. Another failure of the governmental institution. The government is a failure because the Jew is a failure. You understand? If Christians, real Christians, not Judeo-Christians, were running our government, It would be nothing like it is here. There wouldn't be the failure that there is. You see, this failure is something that's just breeded through democracy and through socialism, because democracy is a code word for socialism. You see that when we brought democracy in, that all of a sudden we had social workers and socialist programs like welfare. Let's go to the next quote. Unbelievable. The truth is that all men having power ought to be mistrusted. Next quote. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, last week on my list, our dear federal government said that the number third threat to the United States was the militia and the patriots. Militia slash patriots. Ding, 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 ding. Hello. What does Mr. James Madison say? A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of a people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Next quote. Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. Next quote. The accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary, in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. Let me read it again. You see, because he's talking about a few, our government is now in the hands of the 2% of the population of the world. The accumulation of all powers, legislative, executive, and judiciary, are in the same hands, whether of one, a few, or many, and whether hereditary, self-appointed, or elective, may justly be pronounced the very definition of tyranny. See, those are the three branches of government, ladies and gentlemen. And they really need to be, they need to be not controlled by the same hands, is what he's saying. And of course, in all of our countries, they are, because democracy is the vilest form of government. Aren't you proud, Shebez Goy military, that you're spreading democracy throughout the world? That you're forcing freedom on all the citizens of the world? You'll kill people to make sure that they're going to have democracy. Isn't that wonderful? What a righteous endeavor. What a... all those medals you'll be getting, how deserved you are of them. Just think, you're forcing freedom. The worldwide, you're forcing it down people's throats. And if they won't have it, you'll kill them. Huh? That's noble. Yes. You are enslaving all the citizens of the world. And see, what you don't realize is you're enslaving yourself, your family, your posterity. If it wasn't for Yahweh, we'd be in serious trouble. I don't know when he's going to pull the plug and let this swill this swill, the Jews, and the Shabbos Goy race traders, let it go down the drain. But I can't wait until it goes down there. It'll be all wrapped up and bundled, and then it'll be thrown into the fire. The real Holocaust. You see, the real Holocaust. So you Shabbos Goy military white man, you just keep forcing your freedom worldwide while Mr. Bill Clinton and Red Ronnie Reagan, yes, he was called Red Ronnie. You don't believe me? Look it up. Ronnie was a communist. Red Ronnie was his nickname. Why do you think they used him to pull down communism and stop the Cold War? It was a psyop. They only ended that because everybody was figuring out that communism is Jewish. Communism is Judaism. So they wanted to create a new world enemy. See, once people found out that the communists were the Jews, then the cat was out of the bag. So they needed to put themselves in a new capacity called terrorists. The faceless enemy. We don't know who they are. Could be you. It could be you, ladies and gentlemen, out in the audience listening right now. You could be the terrorist. Why, we don't know what they look like. We do know that they love their countries, though, because the Jew has given us the definition of terrorism. And you know who they are? They're people that love their country. They're people that don't want the UN in this country. They're people that love Yahweh and stick and want to stay and stick with the old ways that have been proven for thousands of years. The terrorists, you know who they are, ladies and gentlemen? They're anybody that disagrees with the Jews. The terrorist is anybody that tells the truth. The terrorist is anybody that the Jew says it is. But you see, that's just not true. Because the Jews have always been the terrorists in this world. Don't believe me? Look it up. Even back when the Black Plague happened, there's only one race that would poison water wells. There's only one race that would do something that despicable, and that's the Jew. But anyway, on with this. So we can't have the three branches of government being controlled by the same hands. Because why don't you do that? Why don't you want that to happen? Because each one is a check against the other. In the same way as the media is a check against all of those and everything else. See, but it's not functioning properly. And why is it not functioning properly? As I've said many times, because it's in the hands of the 2%. It's in the hands. 96% of the media is in the hands of the Jews. And it is not functioning properly. You see, when you have a parasite get a hold of an organ within a body, what happens is it renders it helpless. It kills it. It puts it in a state of paralyzation. It's not functioning properly. Therefore, if the media cannot function properly, it cannot check on these other entities and make sure that they're functioning properly. Do you understand what I'm telling you? Well, I think you must. Next quote. It will be of little avail to the people that the laws are made by men of their own choice if the laws be so voluminous that they cannot be read, or so incoherent that they cannot be understood. Ladies and gentlemen, may I clap for Mr. Madison? Do you understand what he said? I understand. Let me explain it to you. Let me read it to you one more time so you understand. It will be of little avail to the people that the laws are made by men of their own choice if the laws be so voluminous that they cannot be read, or so incoherent that they cannot be understood. Now, what do you think lawyers do? Have you ever read lawyers' jargon? They deliberately have it coded so that, and it's so voluminous. In other words, there's so many words. And what happens to people? What happens to animals when it's given too many choices? If there were too many buttons on a machine for you to choose something, you shut down. Pavlov's dog. You see, it could take commands singularly. But if the commands came in too much at once, the dog would shut down and sit down on the ground because it wouldn't know which command to obey. So, this, I told you before, the Talmud and the Jews write laws every day, all day long. Voluminous. And who writes most of these laws? Lawyers. So therefore, you don't even understand. The tax code is a perfect example of it. Have you ever picked up Title 26 and read it? This is why I told you Yahweh's law is superior. Because this is what this man has said. This is wisdom here. This is smarts. You see, common sense right here. Yahweh gives it to you very simple. You understand what his laws are. You know that you're to obey it. And it's very simple. We don't need 3 billion laws to follow. The more laws there are, the less you could follow them. Why do they create these laws? Why do these Jews keep creating more laws? I'll tell you why. Because of confusion, and because more law creates more crime. And more crime means more money to be sucked out of the citizen. And more crime means we need more law enforcement. We don't need these Jews, ladies and gentlemen. We never did need these Jews. These Jews are no good. Absolutely no good. Let me read this quote again. That's how important this quote is. It will be of little avail to the people that the laws are made by men of their own choice if the laws be so voluminous that they cannot be read, or so incoherent that they cannot be understood. That's all I have to say about that. Praise to you, Yahweh, because you knew what words were here. I didn't. I cannot undertake to lay my finger on that article of the Constitution which granted a right to Congress of expending on objects of benevolence the money of their constituents. Our problem with Congress is they are men who love gifts. The Bible warns us against men who love gifts. You see, if you love gifts, that means you owe something back if you take that gift. Therefore, no gift is worth taking. Especially from a Jew. Next quote. The Constitution preserves the advantage of being armed, which Americans possess over the people of almost every other nation, where the governments are afraid to trust the people with arms. It's the same quote, and it's just said in a different way. Now this should speak volumes to you, ladies and gentlemen. This is incredible. Now, this has less words than most of the quotes, and this ought to just ding, 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 ding. Charity is no part of the legislative duty of the government. Yes, welfare is no part of the legislative duty of the government. Illegal aliens is no, bringing them in our country is no part of the legislative duty of the government. Social Security is no part of the legislative duty of the government. Can you dig that? I'm going to read the original quote again. Charity is no part of the legislative duty of the government. And now another quote. History records that the money changers, who are the money changers? Who are the money changers? Huh? Who did Yeshua, Jesus, whip and turn over the tables? He turned over the tables of the money changers. What does Mr. Madison say here? History records that the money changers have used every form of abuse, intrigue, deceit, and violent means possible to maintain their control over governments by controlling money and its issuance. Ha-ha! Mr. Madison, I would have never known you were this brilliant. You see, I should be watching football games right now, shouldn't I? Or maybe baseball or something, anything. Like, how about, like a homosexual show that they have on TV where men kiss men? Why should I be reading these quotes right now when I could be getting such valuable entertainment from the Jew? Who is the money changer? Let me read this quote again. History records that the money changers have used every form of abuse, intrigue, deceit, and violent means possible to maintain their control over governments by controlling money and its issuance. This man knew this back in the 1700s, ladies and gentlemen. We've forgotten it now. We're just finding it out again. Give me control over a nation's currency, and I care not who makes its laws. But all I do care about is that I have that issuance of money, and that we do not have any monarchs in this country. We need a nice little form of government where we can control all parties, like democracy. Our beloved democracy. I'm going to keep saying this over and over again. Democracy is the vilest form of government. Now, this quote, we've already read some of it, but listen to what he says here. The means of defense against foreign danger have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. Among the Romans, it was a standing maxim to excite a war whenever a revolt was apprehended. Throughout all Europe, the armies kept up under the pretext of defending, having enslaved the people. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living this right now. Do you understand? We're living this. Now, I know you're probably saying, well, why do you keep reading these quotes over and over? Because I know there's no way you could get it the first time. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This isn't the word of God, but this is common sense. The means of defense against foreign danger have been always the instruments of tyranny at home. Among the Romans, it was a standing maxim to excite a war whenever a revolt was apprehended. Throughout all Europe, the armies kept up under the pretext of defending, having enslaved the people. You see, what he's saying here is, among the Romans, it was a standing maxim to excite a war. So whenever there was a revolt about to happen, once they squelched the revolt, they brought in a war. Lots of death can happen with war. And after war, changes happen in a country. The Jews know this best of all. That's why they bring in war. And they fund it on both sides so they can bring changes to both of those countries. Changes that the people in those countries don't want in the first place, but changes that the Jews, or let's call them the money changers, wish to change. Change is what Obama promised, did he not? Well, we got change. I might have had dollars in my pocket before, but now I barely have change. How do you feel, people? Stupid? Next quote. The powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined. Those which are to remain in the state governments are numerous and indefinite. The former will be exercised principally on external objects as war, peace, negotiation, and foreign commerce. The powers reserved to the several states will extend to all the objects which is in the ordinary course of affairs, concern the lives and liberties and properties of the people, and the internal order, improvement, and prosperity of the state. Do you understand what I'm telling you now? Listen to what he's saying here. This is brilliant. Brilliant. What he's telling you is the federal government has been delegated just a few objectives. And that is war, peace, negotiation, and foreign commerce. Is that all they're taking care of with our beloved democracy? They even want to make sure you have injections. They want to control your blood pressure, this federal government. They want to have all the water in your state. They want to control your farms. They want to control who lives in your country, in your states, in your cities. And I could go on all day long what they want to pull these scum. They even want to tell you if you can have weapons. These people from this federal government have to be taken to trial and executed because they are traitors. Now, the states had the other powers. You see, the state you live in has most of the objectives of the Constitution, which would be the ordinary course of affairs, concerning the lives and liberties and properties of the people. See, the government has nothing to do with our properties. The government should have nothing to do with our lives and liberties and the course of our affairs. And the internal order and the improvement and prosperity of the state. Do you understand what he's telling you there? I told you the federal government oversteps its bounds and has no jurisdiction in the states, has no other than military bases and military buildings. The reason why they have been able to overstep the bounds is because of the states receiving monies, gifts. The states should no longer receive any more gifts from the federal government. Therefore, they will not owe them anything. Next quote. Religious bondage shackles and debilitates the mind and unfits it for every noble enterprise, every expanded prospect. Religious bondage shackles and debilitates the mind and unfits it for every noble enterprise, every expanded prospect. Next quote. Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is perhaps the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes, and armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the dominion of the few. Ha, 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 ha. Yahweh, you knew what you were doing. Of course, why would I doubt that anyway? But you knew what you were doing when you directed me right here. You knew what you were doing. You always do. That's why we love you so much. I'm going to start again. Of all the enemies to, why are we in perpetual war, ladies and gentlemen? Why are we in perpetual war? Because the Jew, see, I'm going to read this one before I read this again. No nation, this is a reminder, no nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. That's why we have perpetual war, ladies and gentlemen. That's why the Jew wants us to be at war at all times. And it's because the War Powers Act enables the so-called president of the Corporation of the United States to do all kinds of nasty things. Next quote again. And I didn't even finish this quote. Of all the enemies to public liberty, war is, perhaps, the most to be dreaded because it comprises and develops the germ of every other. War is the parent of armies. From these proceed debts and taxes, and armies and debts and taxes are known instruments for bringing the many under the dominion of the few. Who's the few? The Jew. The two. I love it. In war, too, the discretionary power of the executive is extended. See? Its influence in dealing out offices, honors, and emoluments is multiplied, and all the means of seducing the minds are added to those of subduing the force of the people. The same malignant aspect of republicanism may be traced in the inequality of fortunes and the opportunities of fraud growing out of a state war, and the degeneracy of manners and of morals engendered by both. Ha, ha, ha. We see how the Jew is doing all this. No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare. That was the end of that quote. I think that that's brilliant. I've never heard any of these words before except for democracy is the vilest form of government. Democracy is the vilest form of government. Next quote. Equal laws protecting equal rights, the best guarantee of loyalty and love of country. Equal laws protecting equal rights, the best guarantee of loyalty and love of country. Next quote. Where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions. Read it again. Where an excess, who loves excess, ladies and gentlemen? Who was taught to love excess? Remember the five things the Jews are taught when they're young. Love your brother. Love excess. Love pillage. Hate your master. And never tell the truth. How's that for a nice little reminder for you? I knew you'd enjoy that. Imagine teaching that to a child. Imagine teaching a child. See, love your brother. They barely love one another, but they stick together, no doubt about it. They don't include us in their brotherhood. Love excess. Does Yahweh want you to love excess? Is loving excess good for you? Why, nay, 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 nay. Love pillage. Is pillage something nice to do to another people? Hate your master. Hate your teacher, you see. Hate the one that's teaching you. And never tell the truth. Never tell the truth. Teaching this to a child. Never tell the truth. No wonder they can go in and take the Kol Nidre. They've been taught since a child to never tell the truth. So the quote again, where an excess of power prevails, property of no sort is duly respected. No man is safe in his opinions, his person, his faculties, or his possessions when there's an excess of power. And today, there's much more than an excess of power. It is just overwhelming. Next quote. Besides the danger of a direct mixture of religion and civil government, there is an evil which ought to be guarded against in the indefinite accumulation of property from the capacity of holding it in perpetuity by ecclesiastical corporations. The establishment of the chaplainship in Congress is a palpable violation of equal rights as well as of constitutional principles. The danger of silent accumulations and encroachments by ecclesiastical bodies has not sufficiently engaged attention in the U.S. Very, very interesting. Very, very interesting. Next quote. Learned institutions ought to be favorite objects with every free people. They throw that light over the public mind, which is the best security against crafty and dangerous encroachments on the public liberty. Again, My people perish for the lack of knowledge, saith Yahweh. The problem with our learned institutions is they've been taken over by the same parasite. And that parasite teaches within these institutions. And they have access to your children's minds. As I have explained before, and I will explain again, the reason why the corporations want you to have a college education and require it is not because they're looking for more intelligent individuals. No, 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 no. Nay, 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 nay. What they want is indoctrinated people, indoctrinated into the particular ideals of this parasite. You see, because the parasite runs the corporation, and the parasite runs the educational system. So therefore, they're in tune with one another. So if they make sure that you've gone through at least 4 years, 2 to 4 years or more of indoctrination, then they can be ensured that when you come to work for their corporation, that you have been schooled in their ideals and their requirements. We wouldn't want you to think for yourself, ladies and gentlemen. We wouldn't want you to make decisions about what's right and wrong by yourself. How the learned institutions work these days is you go to the class and they tell you, basically tell you in the classes what the answers are going to be. I'm not speaking of math class, ladies and gentlemen. Now, say you were in a history class. And they said to you, okay, and they asked you a question. You read their book. Remember their indoctrination of what history, their version of history is. If you were to say, oh, teacher, on this test, by the way, question number one, I can't answer that with the answer that you had provided me because that's not the truth. And you put the truthful answer in, you would get that question wrong. That's not what we want to hear. See, we want to hear what we want to hear. So, I'm speaking of the Jew. So when we tell you what the answer is, you just parrot that back to me and you get the question right. And if you do that over and over and over and over again, you'll eventually have your degree, which is a complete waste because you've just been indoctrinated into a Jewish frame of mind, a communist frame of mind, a Marxist frame of mind, and they have shaped the adults of the future. They have taken your child's mind when you send them to these institutions, and they have shaped them how they wish to shape them. That's not the way things go in reality, you see. In reality, a man should learn the truth, and a man should be able to make his own decisions and learn and learn and learn, you see. He shouldn't be indoctrinated. He should be learning truth, learning correct things, not learning things that are not correct, but are put there to poison one's mind and soul so that one agrees with crazy ideologies. The Jew is mentally ill. The Jew's ideologies are vile. Democracy is the most vile form of government. Have you heard that enough yet? Have you heard it enough yet? Do you believe it, ladies and gentlemen? Do you believe that democracy is the most vile form of government? Or do you believe that we should continue to spread it worldwide and shove it down everybody's throat until everybody is a person who loves democracy. If you don't love democracy in America, we'll just kill you. That's all. If you don't love the UN and you don't love communist ideals and you don't love immigration and you don't love Satanism, we'll just kill you. That's all. Says the Jew. You know, I was thinking, and this is very interesting. As I was speaking with Yahweh this morning, I'm getting tired of the Jews getting away with everything, and though it's, I know it's got to be his will, this is what I kind of said. You see, as long as you're like a cloud without water, and you're blown about by every wind, and you just go wherever it takes you, over the rainbow, let's say, somewhere over the rainbow, way up high. Maybe you go out in a boat and you don't use any engine, any motor, or any paddles, and you just let the waves take you wherever they wish to take you. You will end up somewhere at some point. If that's the kind of fool you are, then, well, of course, you'll be made for this Jewish world, this satanic world. But once you find out the truth and you begin to swim against the current, then the resistance makes itself known to you. You see, if you were in a river and you were just laying there, and just floating along, you'd float down the river and it would take you all the way to wherever it's going. But if you decided, I don't want to go all the way down the river, and you turned around and swam against the current, you would immediately feel the resistance. Well, that's how it works in our world. You see, when you begin to tell the truth, you feel the resistance. When you begin to say, no, 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 that's not the way it is, it's this way, you will begin to feel the resistance. When you don't go along with your peers, they will police you, if you're not already policing yourself. And you will feel the resistance. What I said to Yahweh is this. These Jews, these people that are doing all these vile things, are not feeling your resistance. They're going against your currents, Yahweh. And I believe it's time for the Jew to feel the resistance. You see, he's doing all his vile things and getting away with it, and he just does more and more and more and more because there is no resistance to his vileness. There is no resistance. Now, Yahweh's resistance can be done through us and is done through us. It can be done through prayer and is done through prayer. Do you understand me? But I want Yahweh, even though his will be done, I want him to start providing some resistance. I'm sure he wants us to provide some resistance for these scum. If they're going to swim against Yahweh's currents, the currents of good, the currents of doing what's right, the currents of his law, then they should feel the resistance. It should burn. And it will. It's time for all of you to swim against the current. You know, swimming against the current makes you stronger, while going with the current makes you weak, because you're not using your muscles. You're not using your will. You're not using your determination. You're not using your abilities. It's time for all of us, the seed of Jacob, to swim against the current, not against the current of Yahweh. It's time for us to be in tune with Yahweh. It's time for us to be on the same page as Yahweh. It's time for us to obey Yahweh. It's time for us to learn His word. It's time for us to obey His word. It's time for us to pray imprecatory prayers against this filth that we're living with. It's time for us to be aligned with Yahweh, aligned with His law, aligned with His will, aligned with His everything. It's time for those that are swimming against the currents of Yahweh to be punished. It's time for those that are not swimming against the current of these Jews and their filthy, this filthy Babylonian world we live in. It's time for us to turn around and swim against the current. And the more people that swim against this current, we will build and build. And it is building worldwide. The Jew knows it. The Jew can sense it. I'm going to tell you something right now. You want some good news, ladies and gentlemen? Do you want some good news right now? The tipping point is coming. I can feel it. I can see it. I can smell it. I know it's coming. The tipping point. The tipping point is many people know about what the Jews are doing to all of us, but they're afraid to speak up. And more people are speaking up right now. And the tipping point, once the tipping point comes, it'll cave in on them. Once the tipping point comes, I'm telling you, it's coming, and it's coming like a freight train, and it's coming, and it's going to roll right over them. In the mighty name of Yahweh, I proclaim it. I know it. I just feel it. I can see it everywhere I look. I can feel it in my soul. You've always heard since you were a child. You've always heard that good wins over evil. And that is true. You know, we might be in a wrestling match in the world today. And right now we might be down on the mat. And it doesn't look like we're winning. But I believe we've gotten up from the mat. And once you get up, you dust yourself off and you get your faculties back, and then you just tear down the house. If you're afraid of being called a racist, remember, that's a child's game for them to put labels. The Jew puts labels on all of us. And you're afraid to have a label put on you, aren't you, ladies and gentlemen? Don't you know that this is a kindergarten to third grade, fifth grade, whatever, third grade thing that's going on, calling names? Let me give you a third grade saying that will help you to not worry about being called a racist or an anti-Semite or any of these nonsensical things. I told you, and I'm going to just keep repeating it. Anti-Semite means anti-white. It does not mean anti-Jew. The Jews are not white, and the whites are not Jews. There's no reason for you to be afraid to be called an anti-Semite unless you hate white people. And I know you Shabez Goy race traders hate white people. I know that. So you are anti-Semitic. And I know the black race hates the white people. So they are anti-Semitic. And now it's certainly showing that a lot of the Muslims are anti-Semitic as well. See, anti-Semitic means anti-white, period. So here's your little saying to protect you. You see, this saying was given to you when you were in about third grade. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Names are only names. It's only childish words that the Jews use against you, like peer pressure is used against you. Be strong. Who cares if you call me a racist? I don't care if you call me a racist. I couldn't even care less. I don't care. So, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Well, in other words, say if somebody calls you, in other words, what if somebody calls you a racist? Well, now what? Yeah, okay, so you called me a racist. So, yeah, and? What does that mean? Not to mention the nonsense that people are so stupid, they believe if you stand up for your own race, especially if it's the white race, that is, only if it's the white race, then you are a racist and a white supremacist. And that you hate all other races. Well, I'm here to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I know who told you that lie, but the people that tell you that are the Jews, and the Jews are the ones that hate all races. They not only hate whitey and are really anti-Semitic, but they hate the blacks, they hate the Muslims, they hate everybody. We do not hate the other races. Just because you don't want to live with somebody else doesn't mean you hate them. Let's be practical. Let's use common sense. Let's realize who's using words as weapons against us. And let's take words and use those same weapons against them. I remember another one they used to say when you were a child. Baby, baby, stick your head in gravy, wrap it up in bubble gum and send it to the Navy. And some people would probably get upset about that. It's like, who cares? You called somebody a baby. It's mockery. The Jews use mockery all the time. These are childish tactics. And you say to yourself, then why do you want us to call them names? Well, just because words are weapons, but let's use them properly. Let's show them how to really use words. Yes, the Jews are beginning to run. That's why Abe Foxman has stepped down. And so did the guy from the J Jewish Defense League or one of the other ones. He's leaving soon. He knows what's coming. And that's no threat. I know what's coming. I can see it. In America, yes, it's coming. The Jew worldwide is going to be herded up. Remember, keep those doggies rolling. Rolling, 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 ride. Right? They're going to be grouped up into a nice little herd where Yahweh can send the angels to bundle them up. This isn't going to be Christmas. This is going to be the Holocaust, the real Holocaust, performed by Yahweh and the heavenly host. Oh, it will be lovely. Yes, it will. And we shall no longer tolerate any more of this nonsense. I'm filled up to my eyes with this nonsense. It's time they felt the current. They felt the currents of Yahweh that they have resisted for thousands of years. It's time. Even he couldn't resist whipping them and turning their tables over. Even he couldn't resist. He didn't want to wait. I'm glad he got his licks in at that time, because it showed us something, and it's a reminder for all ages to remember who the money changers are. The money changers of yesterday are the money changers of today. But their tomorrow may not be much longer. Praise be to Yahweh the Most High. May his currents take them to the Holocaust that they have wanted to be in for so long. They've made up stories about it, and so they shall have it. The tipping point is coming, ladies and gentlemen. It's a silent roar. It's a silent thunder. And if you listen real close, you can hear it. And if you stop, you can feel it like an earthquake slowly rumbling under the earth. You've been listening to Saxon's Creed Radio Show. I'm David James, and until next time, study to show thyself approved.